Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Our text for today is from John chapter 16, and it is the conclusion of Jesus' farewell discourse with his disciples as he's speaking to them on Maundy, Thursday. This discourse begins all the way back in John chapter 14, and he's been talking to his disciples about the gifts that he will bestow on them as he departs physically from them. And we will celebrate this, obviously, next Thursday with our Ascension service Thursday night. In John 16, 4 through 15, Jesus spoke of the gift of the Holy Spirit. And in 16 through 22, Jesus addressed the sorrow that the disciples will feel at his crucifixion, and yet the joy that they will have because of his resurrection. And now in his final discourse, he alerts his disciples of all time to the fact that despite all the attacks of the world, the devil, and our own sinful flesh, we can have peace because Jesus gives us peace. And so we struggle. I don't know about you, but when I see the disciples not seemingly getting something when Jesus has been teaching it to them for 3 years at Jesus Seminary, I feel better. I feel better because I don't feel as dumb as I normally feel when I see other people not getting it. And it becomes one of these things for us because with all the questions and the doubts and the concerns that pop into our minds, well, maybe even some right now while I'm speaking that have nothing to do with what I'm saying, but we get overwhelmed. But that's okay as long as we're willing to then go back to the scriptures and allow them to have their way with us and not let our will and our wants and our flesh lead us away from the Word of God. And so when we bring them in submission to the Word of God, that Word of God then frees us so that we can confidently pray to the Father because Jesus has bought us peace with his own blood. And that in turn enables us to evaluate every single tragedy, every single problem, every single bad thing that happens in our life or around the world, whether it's with our family or just somebody down the street, of not coming to that point and saying, why does God hate me? Right? We have those thoughts. We've even heard multiple times with all the shootings that have been going on and all this, how can there be a loving God who allows these things to occur? Right? Well, we have to then check those thoughts, those issues that we have with the Word of God, and we find that we have a loving God who doesn't deal with us according to our sins. What does the psalmist say in Psalm 103? He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. To this we can say, God be praised. Or St. James tells us in James 1, do not be deceived, beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. These promises, among many, many, many more, bring comfort and peace so that we don't lean on our own understanding and try to fit God into a box of how we would think, but rather hold to God's promises to work all things to our good, even when we can't imagine any good coming out of it. And this is how Jesus then teaches us to pray. Because we know that all our prayers are answered yes in Jesus. Yet we have to remember to learn to pray, not my will, but thy will be done. You see, God provides everything we need for our comfort and our strength and our benefit, but not everything we want. And so Jesus drops his amens here, right? The English translates it truly, truly. If you have the old King James, it's verily, verily. In the Greek, it's amen, amen. We know what amen means. Why don't they just put amen? Right? Amen, amen. I say to you, Whatever you ask in the Father, of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. And yet praying in Jesus' name is praying according to his will, not ours. According to his promises, not our desires. And according to his word, not our wants. I know the flesh just hates it, because mine does too. Just hates it when God answers our prayer, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. None of us like that answer. It's never comforting to us. It's more frustration on top of frustration. But what does Paul respond? Therefore, I'll boast all the more gladly in my weakness. Luther speaks about prayer in this text. In a sermon he was writing, he puts this way. He says, now, we have often spoken of prayer, both how necessary it is and what power it has. It is not enough for us to have the word and to know and understand everything we should, both the doctrine of faith and about the comfort and victory in every trouble. Something more is required, and that is action, in order that subsequently we may live as doctrine and knowledge teach and guide us to do. So what Father Luther is teaching us, or Luther is teaching us, and what Jesus teaches us about prayer is you don't just pray, but you pray, you study, and then you act. You do something. You don't just sit there waiting for it to drop into your lap. So yes, you can pray for health, but probably want to go to a doctor as well. And then pray for him to be guided by God and use his skills and abilities, the glory of God, to benefit your body. Don't just sit at home going, well, if the Lord wants me healthy, I'll be healthy today. Right? Just look at our text. Jesus tells the disciples, about the comfort and strength that will enable them to survive what lies ahead. He promises the gift of the Holy Spirit, who continues to point all who have God-given faith to Jesus, because Jesus is the only way, truth, and life. And because Jesus knows how great and difficult the battle is that is before us, and how weak and unable to grasp this comfort we are, this is why he points us to prayer. This simple act of worship, this simple act of confession of your faith, of coming to the Father and acknowledging that you are dependent on him, not the other way around. And so we can come to him with our requests and our complaints and our joy. I know often we turn in prayer when we are brought to despair by our sins or those things that are going on in our life. These sorrows brought by sin and its wages, death, are conquered in Jesus' death and resurrection. And yet this reality, I know, especially when it's attacking you, doesn't feel that real all the time. So to comfort us in our grief, to strengthen us in our weakness, and to remind us that we are never alone, but rather we are compassionately cared for, our Lord teaches us to come to the Father through him. For he knows our griefs, our doubts, and our pains, and is answering our prayers even before we utter a single syllable. Jesus says, until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. On this promise, Christians are certain that God hears and answers our prayers because he invites us to this conversation. Yet because of our sin, our faith is imperfect, and so longs and desires to trust its own powers, its own making of promises. Well, just like St. Peter, right? What did he say to the Lord? He said, I'll suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from you. And before the rooster crowed three times, he had denied Jesus three times. You see, it's like the person who had a little bit too much to drink on a Saturday night, praying at the porcelain altar, Lord, if you just get me through this tonight, I'll never do it again. Only to return the next Saturday to their same altar. Because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is horribly, horribly weak. So this is why we understand Had God not invited us to pray, it would be the height of all arrogance for a person to speak to the Almighty God at all. Look at Isaiah when he's called to be the preacher. He's called before God and he has this vision and he cries out, "Woe is me! For I am lost. I am a man of unclean lips and dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." He feels he's going to die. But God restores him. St. John falls down as dead at the beginning of Revelation as he is receiving his vision. And Peter, after the miraculous catch of fish, not the 153 at the end of John, but the earlier catch of fish, he cries out, "I am unworthy to come into your presence. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." And this is exactly what we did this morning. Not quite as dramatic. We confessed our sins of thought, word, and deed, that which we have done and that which we have not done. We cried out, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." Or if you took it personal, "the sinner," as if there's no other sinner on the planet. And yet Jesus still restores you. You see, this is the Christian posture that we take in the Father's presence. And after we confess our sins, what occurs? He sends his messengers, his pastors here in this case, to declare his word, not our word, his word, "Your sins are forgiven you. You have peace with God." There's peace between God and man. There's peace between you and God. And so you're not sitting there going, "Why is this bad stuff happening to me? God's judging me," when God judged you in Christ on the cross. All your sins have been paid for. And so we pray, and we pray on behalf of all of God's people, because we have been declared righteous in his sight by Christ's blood. We now pray on behalf of everyone, as St. Paul tells Timothy, "First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way." Yes, we need to pray for those who are leading our country so that they follow God's will, so that we may have a peaceful life. We need to call them to repent where they have wronged, and we need to restore them the same as we need to be restored. You see, the Christian's prayer are always heard and answered, yes, in Jesus, not in the way we want, but in Jesus. This is why Paul says to the church at Rome, "But God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life." If the Heavenly Father wouldn't spare his only begotten son for you and me, why would we ever doubt that he would spare anything else that we need? This is our great news. Because what God promises, he has to keep. He is always faithful. He has claimed us. He has claimed us in the death and resurrection of his only begotten Son in baptism. So when we pray, let us learn from what Jesus prayed. "Father, if it is your will, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." If you come to the Father without the Son, in any attempt to pray, it's idolatry. You've created a different God. You see, to deny the Son is to deny the Father and the Holy Spirit along with him. When we pray our Father, we are confessing that he is the Father of the only begotten. And we are also confessing the work of the Spirit who intercedes on our behalf with groans that words cannot express. Now, some might be tempted at this point with Jesus saying, "Whatever you ask in the Father's name, in my name to the Father, he will give to you." To say, "Well, then why don't I get everything I ask for?" And the easy answer is this: God loves you too much to give you everything you ask for. It's that simple. For when often it is God's curse to let people have exactly what they want. And this is the way to hell. No, our Heavenly Father will only give us those things that are for our good, those things that will draw us closer to His Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name alone we pray aright. Why, our Father cares for us and provides for us and even sends His Holy Spirit to intercede for us when we're not praying. So hear again the words of Jesus and rejoice in the comfort that you have. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, and we know all about that. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Or have you not heard? Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.